Hey, we're back. Republic of Texas Radio, March 20th, 2022, hour two of the show. Joe McNeil, founder of The Micro Effect, creator of The Micro Effect, broadcaster. He's joining us. We're not taking calls today. At least I don't want to. To continue on from what we were just talking about, kind of to segue from Alan's great day yesterday, or just meeting somebody young that had a brain to him. I had an incident happen a couple of years ago, and it was a friend of the family's. He was over here, and he was talking about being a little kid and growing up. And his dad used to listen to the radio, and he said, yeah, I went out into the garage, and, my dad was sitting there, he had his six-pack of beer, and he'd tune in the radio, and he'd listen to the radio, and we'd go into the other corner, and we'd play video games, right? And we're playing video games, and then dad would fall asleep in his chair, and they'd just sit there and listen. He said, he listened to the craziest stuff. And I go, what do you mean? To this one thing called Republican Broadcasting, right? And they said some strange stuff. And he says, and you know what? Some of that is true. And I'm going, okay, then how did you become such a raving socialist? Right, but whatever. But he heard it. And I don't know. I guess I can't ask you, really, is it futile? I don't think it is futile, us talking on the radio. I think it's important. We got to get information out there. And I think there's a whole generation of kids that went through the COVID nonsense that are looking at it differently. What do you think, Joe? Any thoughts?
Well, yeah. There's a need for what you're doing. There's no question. There'll always be a need for that. But what's more important is, where did you say his father was? His mother?
Oh, his father was out in his garage. Your mom had the house. It was here in Fredericksburg, Texas, right? He'd be out in his workshop, his garage, and listening to the radio, listening to Patriot Radio, listening to a micro station that was here back in the early 2000s.
Right.
And I thought it was funny. Well, right? Because I always thought that there were people that are sitting there couched up in the corner listening to the Patriot Radio station, if we call it that. Because nobody else's house wants to hear it. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, in my case, I don't know if I don't think I got that far, but I put up a little 1-watt transmitter, for example. I knew that would reach from my house to my shop. And then I just tuned in the radio at the shop. And what amazed the hell out of me was one day the computer kicked out. And I thought, well, no big deal. I'll go back up and reboot it or whatever I needed to do. And my phone rang in the shop, and somebody said, hey, what happened to that broadcast? I had no idea somebody was listening. So I said, who is this? So they told me. I said, well, I'm on my way to turn it back on. And I hung up the phone, and it rang in my hand. So I answered, yeah, hello? They said, yeah, what happened to that broadcast? Now, understand, I'm only doing 1 little watt. And I had all these listeners that were listening to what I was listening to. And that's when, RBN and everybody was firing up, back then. And people, I came through a time, I don't know about you gentlemen, but prior to the radio station, I was attending meetings all across the country. This guy's speaking over here, and that guy's speaking over there. And I took some law classes, and I went down to the law library. I financially got invested in what I was trying to figure out and learn. And that's what it requires, people. You have to focus, and you have to understand what it is that's being done is not the first time in the history of mankind that it's being done. It's the greedy, lying, thieving pieces of excrement, we'll say, that are taking things that don't belong to them, or want power over things that don't belong to them. They want power over everything. That's what they live for. And as long as you allow them to have, well, you know, it's just like the bad cop. You know, he's arrogant. He's telling you about all his laws and all this other stuff. And most of the time, they're just spewing crap. They made it up as they think it. What they think it said, that isn't what it said. And as long as you keep bowing down to their demands and meeting their demands and following their rules and their regulations, you know, as far as I, and you can check on me, I could be wrong. Check it out. I think everybody on this planet got here the same way I did. And I don't think there's anybody has any power over me. They're not representing me, but they claim to represent you, or they claim to represent something. And for some reason, you're supposed to honor or have some sort of, you know, rule that you must follow because you live in this geographic location or whatever. I'm speaking of all mankind. All mankind, and as long as people keep following their rules and being done what they're told to do, there's never going to be any peace on Earth. You're going to discover something real familiar, war. It just keeps developing into war and war and more war. And the only ones that are creating the war is not you and I. I'd be happy to go down here to the lake and just do some fishing. But no, man. They want you to pay into something, or they want you to do something, or they want you to follow some rule and whatever. And I, like I mentioned before, if you don't think the sheep are brainwashed, look at April the 15th every year. I'm just going to use that one because that's the most popular. All the sheep go to contribute or pay to their masters, but look how they look at it. They look at it this way. Oh, I might get something back. Oh, I got more than I put in last year or whatever. Now, whatever they think the program is killing their country. You know, it's like the people that want everything for free, free phones, free money, free this. They think there's no consequence. They have no idea of the consequence that they're doing. What was they doing?
And Joe, you know, if I may break in, Joe. If I may break in, you know, you brought up something that's very dear to me. I mean, when I lived in the state where you're living in, I know the lake, Greer Lake, I think is what you're talking about, you know. But, you know, I don't know what it's like there, but, you know, at one point, even to go fishing, it's like if you wanted to go catch trout, you had to get a trout stamp. Not just a fishing license, but a trout stamp. You know, want to go duck hunting, you've got to get a duck stamp. You've got to get this. You can't just go hunting and pay one license.
Yeah.
Everything is getting more and more licensed. Yeah. You know, and Joe, I would like to know, Joe, you know, one of the last times 10 years ago or so that I really talked with you, you know, I was looking through one of my old notebooks and I found your number, you know, about a year or so ago when I called up. And it was like 10 o'clock my time, and I'm like thinking, it's like, well, it's, you know, about 8 o'clock out there in Idaho. I said, I'll see if this still number's still viable. You know, I talked with your wife, and she said, well, Joe's asleep, and we've moved now. What was your transition? I mean, I know there's been some tragedy. We don't have to bring that up, but, man, I did really enjoy that part of, you know, in part of your life. But what moved you from a mountaintop in Kamei, Idaho, to where you're living now, which is actually the only state that's ever had a Rockefeller as a governor, you know? What's been what was your transition point from that? I mean, if you want care to talk about it, I'm kind of interested in that.
Well, first off, number one thing I want you to understand is all the stuff that I went through that I never shared with anybody on the air. Nothing.
Yeah.
As everybody knows, I lost a son in a traffic accident. There's other things that took place. I just needed to relocate because of what was going on and what I was dealing with. And I dealt with it for a very long time. The house that I was living in was one that I had built myself. You know, it wasn't nothing fancy like somebody might be thinking that I may or may not have. But there's things that I just wanted to part with. And so it just by chance, just to make a long story short, this person that I bought the house for from in Arkansas used to live in Kamiai, and they passed away. And I came here to do a few things and really liked what I was looking at. And I mentioned it to my wife, and we did. We hashed on it for about, I don't know, 6 months or something. And we just took possession of it. Now, I have to say, you might as well say, from the day I arrived and COVID arrived pretty much at the same time, it's been quite a different experience. Because obviously I know people in Idaho. I know resources in Idaho. I know a lot of things about Idaho. As you can imagine, I moved somewhere I don't know anybody here or didn't know anybody here. And so I'm it's been a little bit limited in what I could do or accomplish. But there's so many things here laying in the background, things that happened to me and my family. And I've been doing radio for 20 years. Now, I say radio, that's internet, FM, all that stuff. But really, I was on the radio, CB radio, years before that, talking about the same things that we talk about here on the air. So I thought maybe, you know, I would like to enjoy just a little bit of life. I've been fighting this battle for years, and I was not impressed with the response that I was getting or anybody. It wasn't limited to me. It was the overall response, just like you're looking at right now. I mean, really, what's your true feelings about the inability of an entire industry called the trucking business who can't make a trip from wherever to Washington, D.C. and stand on their own 2 feet? And be willing to defend that. What's your personal opinion? Because I can tell you mine is going to be quite different from everybody else's. So when you look around and you're fighting a battle over here, just like you guys are, you're on the radio, you're talking, it's Sunday, trying to advise people and this, that, and the other, it's a little disheartening to realize the lack of commitment that America has for its own country. Because they've become lazy. They don't have it in them. The last, at least the last 20 years, for kids who might get into a fight in school, they might not even have provoked it, but they, you know, they get suspended or punished as well. There's things that are mentally implanted in American people that are not American. Planted in other people in other countries. So when you see the suffering or the things that are taking place for the lack of participation, the lack of response, you have to ask yourself, my friend, should I keep fighting this battle? Because I had a talk with the Almighty. Should I keep fighting this battle? Or should I go and do a little fishing here before it's my time to clock out? Because I got to share with you, we've lost a lot of good broadcasters, a lot of good people. People have died trying to wake up their country. People have died. And if you don't think that doesn't consume you, from the time I'll share with you, from the time I woke up in the morning to the time I laid down at night, it didn't matter. I was either dealing with phone calls, doing some editing or something or whatever, lots of stuff. My entire 24 hours every day, 365 days a year, was totally consumed. If you don't believe me, you can ask my wife. She'll be glad to tell you how much.
and Joe, I remember actually at one point Micro Effect was broadcasting. You had you had different people on 24 hours a day, and your young son Chance, who I love talking with that kid. I know it's a sore subject, but man, that was a good kid. I mean, great. I mean, had a personality. You know, well, I remember one time the host didn't show up. He got his guitar out and started playing his guitar on the radio. You know, you did your part, Joe. You know, I don't fault you at all for, you know, wanting to kick back and just kind of being revolted and just trying to enjoy your life after doing what you did. I appreciate it. Like I said, I don't know whether to hug you or kick you in the nuts, but, you know, because it is uncomfortable coming to this awareness, but in a way it's comforting because I don't feel like I'm crazy anymore because you helped me make connections that of things that I saw going on in the world around me. And not hearing an explanation that made any sense, and then coming up on, like, you know, RBN and Micro Effect and talking with you. And, you know, I remember when you were getting your T1 lines run up to the mountaintop and, you know, trying to, you know, get everything all better. And it's been a struggle. You've been struggling a long time. I don't blame you at all for wanting to just kick back and go fishing. You know, I don't blame you at all, my friend.
You know, I want to share with you, too, in all honesty, I didn't get along very well with Mr. Stadtmiller. We weren't mortal enemies.
He was tough.
There was a problem. But I want you to know, he suffered from the same things I suffered from.
Yeah.
All of us did.
Yeah,
it's consuming, man.
I totally remember back in the day, you know, the difference between in public broadcasting, their hosts were moving from one network to another and things like that. It was it was a different time. You know, some would sit there and go, I'm going over there, and then they get kicked off of the Republic, and then they're over at the Micro Effect and back and forth, right? You know, and everybody had a different direction they went, but you were doing the same thing. And John checked out of this world, still driving. And I'm glad that you got your leg. That's awesome. Sorry.
Well, so you know, I want everybody to know I don't have any animosity towards this man. And sadly, he's passed on. But we all did what we had to do, and we had to do it under the circumstances that we were dealing with. And that's how it works. You just deal with what you have to deal with, and we're dealing with it right now. We have to deal with what we... And right now, you know, I was losing... Well, my health has gone to total crap. After 20 years of radio, man, it beat me to death, along with a few other things, emotional things, what have you. And I want everyone out there to listen. Don't let it consume you. Yes, there's a problem. Yes, some things need to be addressed. But if you lose your life or you drive yourself right into the ground, you're not a warrior anymore. You're just dead. And you do have a right to have a little peace and quiet, or do a little fishing, or play with your grandkids, or something, and you don't have to pour yourself into this. Perhaps, if there is enough of us, somebody can come and relieve you, take your place, fill in the blank, and go from there. But as I stated earlier, there doesn't seem to be enough of those to go around. And that, therein lies the problem.
You know, go ahead.
I was just going to share with you, I work every day. I'm 70 years old. I will work until I'm done. I want everybody to know, I want you to know this. I do not. I never have, and I never will, and I hear about it all the time. I do not get Social Security, disability, food stamps, welfare, what have you. I am connected to nothing. And if I can do that, you can do that. Everybody can do it. All you have to do is make up your mind who you are, what you want, and pursue it, and do it, instead of waiting for somebody to come hand you your daily cupcake or your daily check in order for you to survive, because you become the person that's dependent upon the evil that's running this country. You become a supporter of all that, and I refuse to be a part of that. I'm not going to contribute anything. I've had people say to me, well, you paid into Social Security, you done this. Yeah, that's their problem, not mine. It seems that they found somebody to give my money to. They are not running out of that, because everybody's willing to jump on the banjo wagon there to be a part of that. But how many people have you met or have you ever talked to that you don't get anything? I got a VA card from the Veterans Administration. I've never had it out of my pocket. And I had a gentleman convince me, man, you can get a deal. What was I buying? I was buying a wash machine or a stove or something. Oh, you can get a discount with your military, you know, your VA card. So I whipped out my card that's been in my wallet since the 70s. Never been used. And they refused it because it wasn't the updated version. Now, does that mean I wasn't in the military? What does it mean?
No.
That this little company, okay, so here you have all this stuff that they give you that's so valuable. How valuable was that to me that day? It was useless. And everything they give you is useless. The check that you have no idea. What do you think the price for that VA card during the Vietnam era was worth? What was its value? See, people don't look at things like that. I had that thing in my pocket all those years, and it served me nothing. And here this gentleman that was talking to me that convinced me to do this, he was just stagnated, man. He couldn't believe it. He ended up screaming at the people, he's a veteran, you know, that's a real card. I've had one of those cards. Because like I said, I hadn't updated my card to the new plastic, got your picture on it type of thing. I used the old card that I got, you know, back in the 70s. And, yeah. So be careful what you put value in. And realize
and
what people have grown
system.
To be.
You know, Joe, it's kind of like what I talked about earlier. You know, it's like, you know, my uncle, you know, who is dead now. You know, one time we had a guy that ran for city council here, and he was going to get it. He got on city council, and he was going to ask about the CAFR funds. You know, and he got on city council, and he wasn't there for like a week, and they were screaming and yelling, and they got him recalled and kicked off city council, sick the IRS on him. And my uncle would say, my uncle's down here. He said, "Well, don't you think we ought to pay our taxes?" And I said, "Well, Roscoe," I said, "what do you know? You're sitting here and you're bitching about all these people on welfare and taking free money from the government." I said, "What do you call it when the government pays you not to plow your fields and plant your fields? You know, they pay you for doing nothing on your own property as much as it can be. What do you call that?" You know, it made them so mad. My aunt almost tore the door off my backhoe next time I went down to the house down there. I mean, it was crazy.
That was funny.
They just don't see how much they're part of it, and they don't want to realize it because they give it. They don't call it welfare; they call it subsidies for not planting your fields. You know.
Well, they know the cost of everything, but the value of nothing.
Yes. Very good.
The cost of everything, the value of nothing. Because just like you're pointing out, what is in not planting land? Okay, that stops production right there. That eliminates jobs. The machinery, it does something. All that rings the bell is, oh man, we get money for nothing. We don't have to do nothing. It's just going to send us check for not planting our own land. or at least right. they think it's theirs.
Yeah.
I understand. Hey,
they don't call it welfare, so it's not like a black person sitting in a project, you know, collecting a check, but it's the same thing. It's just got a different name.
Hey, Joe, you were talking earlier, and you put forward a question about truckers, right? And I'd like to drive back to that for a second or maybe longer. I've seen and I'm not a trucker, right? But as I look back through the years, being a kid and watching, you know, a big old white Freightliner drive down this, and there was a Kenworth and a Peterbilt, and I used to see those as a kid, and I go, wow. And that was during the time of, you know, we got a great big convoy, CBs worked great, and we could talk on the CB. They were more free as truckers. You know, there was a war, I see, on truckers, and there still is. They slowly got programmed to behave the man and be subservient to the man, right? They had to keep a logbook, right? Because for the good of humanity, you got to keep a logbook, right? So you make sure you sleep. So, of course, that sounds really fair, right? You know, of course, person needs to sleep, otherwise a semi. So we started regulating them and watching them, and we have these things, these predators, trucker predators. They hang out on the highway over here, and they just sit and wait for a truck to come by, and then they swoop in, and then they pull him over, and they check his logbook, and they check his brakes, and they, you know, okay, sir, did you sleep?
Horrible scales.
You know, it's kind of like going, wow, man, so these guys are doing a job, and your job is to harass that guy. And it really screwed up. One of my customers, he has a lot of semis, right? You know, and he has a lot of equipment, but they're always hounding him. He always has, dang, I just work on computers, and I have to help him because he has to print some of this nonsense up for one of his vehicles, right? And he's like, well, I just have to print this and show that I've got this and this and that and whatever. And I'm going, man. And so he's been doing it for lots of years, and they keep piling stuff on top of them and on top of them and on top of them. And eventually what you get is somebody that's, compliant, you know, or quits, right? I'm not going to drive anymore. That's just too much. And I think that's where we're at. You know, it's fascinating that the Canadians were able to muster that up, but we weren't, or maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead.
Let me tell you, let me give you an example of social brainwashing. I've made a lot of trips to California in my life. And one morning I was listening to a radio station. Now, when you go out to California, man, you kind of things like Mountain Pass or the Grapevine. I mean, there's a few hills out there. And what they would do is they'd get down there, the DOT, Department of Transportation, would get down there at the bottom of the hill and, you know, flag trucks and stop trucks or whatever they wanted to do. And then they put this big report out on the radio that 99% of the trucks going up and down the highways today have, you know, have no brakes. You know, they have faulty brakes or, you know, no brakes and what have you. But what they really meant to say, was we are in a mountainous terrain, and these drivers haven't had time to adjust their brakes after rolling off the top of a 22-mile-long, 6% grade mountain, grossing 80,000 pounds as of yet. And we caught him between coming down the mountain and adjusting his brakes. That's what they meant to say, right? But no, we convinced him with something else. Brake time.
Liars, liars. Hang on, Republic of Texas Radio, let's do the break. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, we're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, we've got Joe McNeil. Joe McNeil, the creator of the Micro Effect, former broadcaster, wonderful man, retired now. But we were just talking about speed traps and the trucker speed trap in California. It's fascinating, these little things that they do, Joe. We have a road here in town. I got here in 2008, and I learned a little trick before I arrived in Fredericksburg, Texas. Whatever the government says it is, it's the opposite. We have a stretch of road called Friendship Lane. As soon as I pulled onto that, I said, this is Friendship Lane. Oh, crap. Watch out, right? And sure enough, it's a damn speed trap. You know, you all of a sudden it's Friendship, and they've got these cops, they pull people over all day long. It's not about friendship, it's about money. And it's a damn shame that more people don't actually understand that. I don't know. I guess all we can do is just keep doing what we're doing. But fishing does sound really good. I'm going to have to do some of that at some point.
Think about for a second, you know, like I just explained, instead of telling people the truth, you know, you live in a mountainous area, you know, yes, you have to adjust your brakes frequently, what have you. Now compare that to COVID. Throw COVID on the radio and start talking about that in the same manner, not necessarily telling anybody the truth. But look at the propaganda, look at the brainwashing, look at what's taking place, and they know they're doing it. It's to convince the population that there's a problem going on here that they should be aware of, and they should do something about it. So what do? They'll go out and attack the truckers. Oh, you guys, you know, you don't have any brakes. You know, we heard all about you. I had a lady call me in my shop one day. Her grandmother had came to my shop, and she handed me an alternator, and she asked if I could put an alternator on for it, which I did. And as I was looking at the vehicle, it was a Jeep, I noticed that the master cylinder for the brake system was bleeding all down the front of the firewall. And I mentioned it to her. I said, are you having any brake problems? And she said, yeah. I said, well, there's your problem right there. It's, you know, all leaking out. Well, I never touched that. I didn't work on that. But I did get a phone call the next day from some lady who watches TV that told me I was one of them skanky mechanics that ripped off her grandmother and stole all this money and stuff. I said, what are you talking about? And she started talking about, I said, well, I never even touched, I didn't work on a brace. All I did was put an alternator on. So she was a little confused about who I was and what I was doing. And that's what happens with people. They listen to this stuff. They don't know any facts. They don't question anything. They don't investigate. They don't do anything. But somehow
they hear what they want to hear, Joe. And that they hear what they want to hear, and they don't. Yeah, it's sad.
They don't question it. So my suggestion is turn off your TV.
Joe, when I was a mechanic, and I kind of deal with that a lot, not a lot, but with my computer business, you know, people will sit there and you fix one thing. They don't do it as much with the computer business, but as a mechanic, you'd fix one thing and they'd say, well, you broke that, right? So you can make more money. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
It's not how it works. Well, but yeah, people always think that somebody's trying to rip them off unless they're giving me it for free, and free costs a lot. It really does.
isn't it amazing that the one is actually stealing the most? They don't question.
Right.
It is.
It is amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Joe, when we're dealing with things, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay, man. Just the things that people don't question, they just, I don't know, how would you explain that? They just take care, oh, yeah, it's the government, totally trustworthy, it's this, it's that. And if they ever sat down with a pencil, all it takes is a pencil and a piece of paper and figure out how much you're paying for this, that, and the other. You know, just line it all up, and then imagine how much this little mechanic stole from you from doing what he was supposed to do. I think they'd be quite surprised as to who's gaining or losing what because of what they believe or they think is going on. And that's why I asked the question, you know, what does anybody think about this COVID thing? Because if you look around on a daily basis, I don't recall or have seen any funeral progressions anywhere. And according to the statistics, the stats that they gave us, we should be in traffic jams in every direction we go in. There should be a major traffic jam. But yet you don't see any of this stuff. And with doctors and people that are in position that have a good heart have come and said, this is a big lie, this is BS and whatever. For some reason or another, we would rather listen to people that are telling you how bad it is. Oh, the hospitals are overloaded, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Than the guy that's saying it's all bull. Now that's an amazing feat.
It was.
It's truly incredible.
You know, and you know, I actually just got, I just finished reading, you know, Robert F. Kennedy's book, The Real Anthony Fauci, and it talks about, you know, when this little toad came in and about starting about 1984 and took over basically the whole scientific research world. You know, if you were an honest research scientist and you tried to do honest work, you were drummed out of the business. You were ostracized. You lost your position. You lost any way to, you know, to go back into any kind of honest research anywhere anymore. You know, because if you went against them, it's like you were completely just drummed out of the business, you know, and it all became just, you know, the corporate line, if you want to call it that, you know, just the money, the greed, the corruption, the pharmaceutical companies, you know, everything just making profit, you know, off-label drugs, you know, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, which are very effective. You know, if you even say, I do construction, you know, Joe, we do a lot of remodels, and one of the guys that we work with actually is a nurse at the hospital. And I said, Joe, what would happen if you said the word ivermectin while you were in there? He said, oh, no, you don't say that. You know, that's, you would, you, basically lose your position if you even brought up any of these things that might actually be of help instead of remdesivir killing people. You know, it freaks me out, Joe. This world, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, people, it's gotten to the point where people don't even trust their own judgment.
No.
They rely on somebody, on the radio station or whatever. I say question everything. And if people don't like what you're talking about, and there's going to be a few of them out there, that's their problem. Unfortunately,
Joe, we've always called them sheeple, but actually in today's world, I'm sorry to say, for the most part, comparing people to sheep is an insult to sheep. And sheep are really, really stupid people. I've worked with them before.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
Unfortunately, my friend, that's exactly what we're dealing with. Yeah. And it's due to
we're doing what we can. Joe, you did what you can. Steve and I have been on RBN for like 6.5 years or so. The only Sundays we've missed have been, I think, this last year. I think they actually fell on a holiday. And this first time that we've actually not been on our program on Sunday morning. We're doing what we can, like you did, trying to talk to people. Yeah. At least we've got some camaraderie with some of the people that do listen and are aware of what's going on. We generally take calls. I love talking with a lot of the callers out there, just people of like mind, and hopefully every now and then we reach someone like this young 21-year-old man I met yesterday, a bright spot in this world for me. And doing what we can, that's all we can do.
Well, let me say this.
Because I'm not on the air anymore, doesn't mean I'm still not paying attention. I still have a lot going on in my mind. I just don't do it on the air anymore.
Yeah, I wasn't implying anything, Joe. I know you're a fighter. I know you're still out there.
Hey,
yeah, I'm not a quitter.
Stuff. So when COVID rolled around, they tore apart. Well, actually, let's just do this. 2019, pre-COVID, they were getting ready for COVID. They remodeled both of the supermarkets in our little town, right? They ripped out the entire front line, right, where they had checkers sitting there doing their checker thing. And they put in these new kiosks, and they forced everybody into the computer-driven thing. And this was just in time for the COVID, right? And so both of our supermarkets miraculously are set up to do this crazy dance of computers, right? And then they programmed the people all throughout 2019. And so when 2020 came around and they said, stand 6 feet apart, wear a mask, squirt the scoop on your hands, right? They're like doing this dance and then go through the robo-checkout thing. And then, man, it was a crazy transition. Did you do that in Arkansas? Did you see that happen there at that same time frame?
Oh, yeah.
Man, yeah, you know.
Yeah, they've taken out the checker. Well, some of the smaller mom-and-pops places that are still in existence have put stupid things up, like a plexiglass shield so you can't spread the germ or whatever. It's all ridiculous. How much money do you think they made off of stupid stuff?
Oh, God.
I don't know. Speaking of those plexiglass shields, the little place I stop here in town, all I could get gas because I can put the hose in my truck and fill it up and go in and pay cash. You don't have to go in and prepay and then go back in and get your money back, I walked in there one day shortly after the COVID started, and they didn't have plexiglass. They just had a sheet of saran wrap, like clothes pinned up, in front of the cash register. I looked at the lady and I said, I love your redneck plexiglass. That's real nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got to share with you. When that COVID stuff first started, I've been frequenting a local store. And when that all started with the mask and all this, I went up to the store and I got my pack of cigarettes and stuff. And the owner was standing there. And I asked him, I said, can I talk to you for a second? So he stepped outside with me. I said, I just want you to tell me when to stop coming here. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, everybody's wearing these masks. I said, I want you to know I have no intention of ever wearing a mask for any reason. And if that upsets you or interrupts your store operation or something along those lines, I want you to know ahead of time, you can just ask me not to come back no more. I won't be offended, but I am not going to wear a mask anywhere. And he was good with that. We didn't have any further conversation, but he never said another word.
I have not frequented some businesses because they would not let me in without wearing a mask. I walked in one store and they said, well, you can't come in unless you're wearing a mask. And I looked at all the people that are wearing masks.
I'm losing you periodically there, man.
The grocery store, on the outside it said, mask required. I walked in without my mask, and I would see one or two other people in there that didn't have a mask on, and I would walk up and I'd start talking to them, it changed my shopping habits.
That's what I mean. You have to get away from the propaganda. You have to get away from the lies and do some observations on your own accord. And you have to trust the judgment that you came up with. When this all started with me, I started watching, different states, whatever, the death rates and blah, 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 blah. And you found out that, oh, man, everybody bought masks, or we got new mask companies, or, whatever transpired through all that. But nothing has really, the only thing that has changed is what they say changed. But nothing has changed. And like I pointed out, there is no mass traffic jam for all these funerals that we're having. So if I can emphasize anything at this point, I would emphasize trust your own judgment, but don't do it stupidly. Do a little bit of research. See what's going on. The hell with the picture that they handed to you. Throw that picture away and go out there and develop your own picture. And what I mean by that is you back up as far as you have to get a grasp of what is really going on. Is it just going on TV? Is it just going on radio? Or is it, where is it happening? And if there's nothing really going on and you've been there and you talk to the people and all this, then you have to know that the brainwashing program isn't working for you because you're standing in the right place asking questions. Instead of just accepting the big announcement, millions of people are dying. Well, once you get past that initial fear, and honestly, everybody had some element of fear because here's something else you consider. Is there anybody on this situation here that can tell me we've been to the moon? Is there anybody that can tell me how much and you're not going to find anybody. You're not going to find anybody because there's no way to prove it. So magically, if you'll think about this for just a second, everything this government comes up with is so far from being proven or actually happening, the only thing you can do, those professionals, the ones that are still coercing you on the commercial to get your COVID vaccine, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff is out of your reach.
Joe, the first time in history that if you're perfectly healthy and have no symptoms, you're asymptomatic, you're one of the most dangerous people on the planet because you're asymptomatic, and so it makes you a super spreader. And that hurt my head from the very beginning. I tried bringing it up to people, and they look at you like you're seriously. It's like I'm one of the healthiest people. I have no symptoms. I haven't been sick in 10 years. And I'm one of the most dangerous people. You know, the brainless stupidity just amazed me.
Yeah, it's the acceptance of a story that you have no proof of. Nobody can prove to me. There is nobody. And if you know who can, bring him to me. Nobody can prove me that we went to the moon. Nobody can prove to me that the whole planet is warming up. And nobody can prove any of this stuff. Nobody can prove that COVID is killing billions upon billions. Nobody. And if it was that obvious, that true, you should be able to see it at some level somewhere. But it's always that one of them advertisers that, well, if you want to be better off in your future, you want your kids to live, you know, whatever the hell they're using, this is what we got. And if you want to ask yourself, what do you believe? What do you believe and why do you believe it? Why do you believe? Why does anybody believe that we actually went to the moon? Yeah. Why?
And Joe,
if I can give this little
Can I give this little quote? And I can't remember who to attribute this to, but I heard this a while back, and it's one of those things that just dinged in my head, and it stuck. It's like your government always has to tell you who your enemy is before you can actually sit down and think and figure out that the government is your enemy.
Yeah. I watched the documentary.
The moon is very interesting because it doesn't just speak to that one question. It's how do you know what you know? I had a discussion with a NASA worshiper locally here in town, right? You know, he loved NASA. Actually carried a rock from Florida to Houston, right, that they say it was a moon rock. And so I had this discussion, right, with him. How do you know it's a moon rock? He says, because it came from the moon, and NASA gave it to me.
Yeah.
I go, okay, well, how do you know they got it from the moon? Well, because they told me they got it from the moon. And I'm like, okay, well, it was a weird rock. While we were holding it, we had all sorts of mental thoughts and stuff, and so it was strange. And I go, okay, so it was a strange rock, right? But how do you know it was from the moon? Oh, Steve, you're just being difficult. Everybody knows we went to the moon. So, but I don't. Right? How did we prove this? Right? You know, there's some problems with that math. And they can't even get back to the moon, Joe. It's like, wow, really, guys?
They lost the technology to go back to the moon.
If anybody is interested in some moon rock, I have a whole yard full, and you can buy as many as you want.
I've got 440 acres full of pet rocks. You want to come out and pick up a pet rock and take it home? I'll even give you the care and feeding instructions for it, and give you some special pet rock food.
There you go. Well, that's the belief program of America. We'll just tell you, and you watch movies on a daily basis that have some astronomical effects and create, I don't know, explosions, you know, whatever. And you know it's all hocus-pocus because they said it was a sci-fi movie. And certainly it wasn't recorded on the moon. And you don't believe that. That's sci-fi. But if they come along and tell you, yeah, well, that's the result of what actually happened on the moon. We just put it in our own way or something. They'll reason it all out to you, and all of a sudden it becomes a belief. Okay, so we got moon rocks. Okay. Like I said, you're talking about movies.
A movie that everyone needs to watch and rewatch and rewatch is a movie called Wag the Dog. I mean, if you watch that movie, it will explain to you the political situation and how they manipulate maliciously the people's consciousness. I mean, it's in a comical sort of way, but it's reality. I mean, that's how easy it is for them. It's like, Well, we'll go to war with Albania. Why Albania? Why not Albania? Wow. You know, well, I can't confirm that the B-3 bomber has been sent to the Ukraine. We don't have a B-3 bomber. Exactly. You know, I mean, it's the manipulation is so easy in today's world. It's really disgusting.
I find more truth in humor than I do in anything else.
There you go.
Because
what's been presented to us as fiction ends up, unfortunately, being more of reality than what they've told us reality is. And that's sad. It's scary.
Yeah. And you can find more truth and humor in the presenting. Nobody will question it. Nobody will get mad at it because it's already come across as humor. But in that humor, there's a truth that you can't find anywhere else.
Hey, look at George Carlin or Joan Rivers. You know, I mean, you know, Joan Rivers comes out and says, "Hey, we've got a homosexual for a president and a trainee for a first lady." You know, and George Carlin, you know, it's a big club and we're not in it. You know, comedy, but truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I find. I find more truth in humor than I do in anything else.
Yeah. So, Joe, you know, we're coming up near the end of the program here. And I just want to say, Joe, man, it's been a pleasure having this little reminisce with you. And, you know, I've got your number, and hopefully you've got mine.
Yeah,
if you ever get a hair up hair, you know, give me a ring. I'd love to talk with you anytime, my friend.
Well, I appreciate the invite, man. It's been a while since I've been on the air saying anything. So... I don't do this anymore.
It's good to hear your voice again. You know, man, I always go back to 2012. I remember your show. It was called Who's Next? it's just good to hear you're still there. I hope you prosper, man. I hope you enjoy the fishing, you know. If you ever want to come back and talk with us, we'll put out that note right now.
Yeah, not a problem, man. Just gonna have to let me know when you're interested, because I'm not looking for things where I've already been. But anyway, thanks for the invite, guys, and good fun.
Okay.
You know, go out on the lake and catch a big old fish for me. You know, I miss my fishing in Arkansas. I really do. You know, I live in the Ozarks. You're kind of on the edge of the Ozarks. Still, pretty nice place up there in Central Arkansas.
That's the music. That was Joe McNeil. Hope you enjoyed him. The Micro Effect.
And take care out there, folks.
Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumer's house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.